Living a life dedicated to acquiring the skills and knowledge to help others on their path to greatness has brought my next guest, Matt Belair, to a level of expertise attained by few. A one-of-a-kind author, speaker, conscious thought leader, and podcast host, Matt believes in potential. His own, yours, everyone's. Stay tuned for this amazing guest on the CJ Evolution podcast. Hello, hello, everybody. Patrick here. Thank you for tuning in to the show. Special thanks to all those brave men and women working in the criminal justice field. Thank you so much for what you do. Very difficult environment out there, but you get up, go to work every day, and you protect each and every one of us. Thank you so much. We continue to grow, folks, because of you. If you would rate and review the show on iTunes, give us those 5-star ratings, we sure would appreciate it. Folks, I am so excited to be partnered with Detectachem. Mobile threat detection is here, right in the palm of your hands. Head over to cjevolution.com. Check out the link to Detectachem. They are doing amazing things, keeping our first responders and brave men and women in the United States military safe. Again, big shout out to Detectachem. We love you. Thank you for keeping our first responders and everybody else safe in the field. Folks, I am so pumped, excited to be on the radio. It's my first time. Well, actually, I've been on this particular radio show a couple times now, and I love it. WMAP Radio, world's most amazing people. You're going to love this show. Casey Armstrong is the man. He's got a great radio station, and I'm honored to be part of it. You can check me out every night, weeknights, 8 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. Go to WMAPradio.com. That's WMAPradio.com, and you can hear my show. Ah, super pumped for this show. This is going to make you feel amazing and great, and the ability to go out there and do whatever the heck you want. Enjoy the show. Very excited to have my next guest on the show, Matt Belair. Are you there, brother?
Yeah, man. Thanks so much for having me on the show.
Well, I am so excited, man. I know you're very, very busy, and thank you for taking the time. Matt, you do so much. I mean, we'll get into your book, your podcast. You talk to so many people out there. How did you get started in what you were doing? What was the catalyst that set you on your path?
Oh, well, that's a good question. Well, definitely with the podcast, if you're talking about that specifically, mm-hmm. The start of the podcast was because I've been kind of – we call it like a black sheep, or just very different than my friends, you know, like when we mm-hmm. were all going to university or they were going to university, I was thinking about traveling and I had a little bit different way of thinking. And so, you know, in my early 20s, I was in Whistler and I was researching a lot of stuff since my childhood, being a martial artist, on mindset, consciousness, performance, human potential, you know, everything that evolved around like human consciousness, performance, mysteries. It all was just so fascinating to mm-hmm. me. And so there was only two friends, even at 25, that I could talk to about this. And I was like, man, I was like, we should just record these conversations so we can share them with other people and they can kind of like, you know, tune in and you know, learn something from it. And so the first episode was with a friend of mine, Anders, like a good friend. And I said, hey, buddy, do you mind if I kind of like do it in an interview format? Because I think I'm going to just do a podcast. And so we did that. And I didn't know what I was doing. And then the second one, I don't even know why I chose him, but it was Don Miguel Ruiz Jr. And I think it was because I was reading The Four Agreements at the time.
Yeah.
And such a wonderful book. And I know that it's a family lineage. The Toltec lineage is passed down. So his son held that same lineage and same knowledge, and he had just written a book too, and he's a really great author and speaker in his own right. And I just thought, you know what, he's going to be a little bit more accessible. I probably, you know, I have a shot at getting him. And he said yes. And a few months later, I completely forgot. I kind of self-sabotaged, and I woke up. I was like, oh my goodness, it's today. And I just went over to my dad's house and I fired up, and he was on the other side and didn't really know what the heck I was doing. And so from there, I was like, okay, cool. Now I'm just going to start reaching out to people and seeing if people give me yeses. And then number four was Jarek Robbins. And so, you know, I had really incredible guests for the first 10 episodes and just kind of kept going from there and set the intention just to interview, you know, people who were inspiring to me, who were knowledgeable, who were leaders in either spirituality, consciousness, peak performance. And, you know, there's obviously some really out there topics if you're listening to it, but that was the intention, is to share the wisdom and stories of these incredible people that I felt like we needed more conversations in the mainstream.
And I love it because the show is the Matt Belair podcast. And I love it, brother, because we were just talking before we went live about, I was listening to episode 224, maybe it's you, cut the crap, face your fears, love your life. But you can transition. So, I mean, that's one episode. And then you talk about ancient aliens and stuff like that, which I think is cool, man. You're all over the place talking about different and very, very interesting topics.
Yeah, man. Well, you know, because like for me, I was just curious about what is actually going on in the world. So mm-hmm. when I was in my teens, I was actually researching war. I didn't understand how there was still war and starvation on the planet. It didn't make any sense to me. And in governments, you know, I was like, well, these guys are full of baloney. And so I was like, what is actually going on here? And so I kept going down rabbit holes and exploring. And so, you know, I think it was last year in October, I went to Egypt with the Resonance Science Foundation when it was a group of physicists, astrophysicists, geologists, mathematicians, really brilliant people. And I've been doing a lot of research for a long time on really deep topics and just curious about what is actually going on here, because I am curious about how this world works, what's actually happening here. And so, you know, just to sum up the rabbit hole of the conspiracy stuff, I was looking at psychology and I was like, how do we have war? And I looked at just manipulation, mass manipulation, hypnosis and things like that. And there's a great documentary called The Century of Self, and it's about Edward Bernays, who is Sigmund Freud's nephew. Wow. And used persuasion techniques for World War I and II. And you can also look at Zeitgeist and the Zeitgeist series, and there's really interesting information there, and as well as Thrive documentary. And there's like a couple soft spots to start, but it really explores really deep questions. And so when I find a person who I think has real knowledge and wisdom on a really deep topic, I want to explore that with them. And then I can kind of go across between my own research and my guests to see, you know, what elements are common, you know, where is it kind of baloney, where are things starting to line up, and hopefully have a clearer idea of this incredible mystery that we're living in. Yeah. Conscious, you know, just life itself and what's happening on the planet.
Now, before we were talking a little bit again before we went live, and you actually wanted to be in law enforcement, or you studied security, you know, when you were in school, correct, Matt?
Yeah, 100%. When I was in high school, I knew I wanted to help people. Mm-hmm. And so I went in there and I was like, well, I was thinking about being an entrepreneur, and they told me what the starting wage was. I was like, well, what's the starting wage to be a police officer? And it was much higher. And so that was really, that was it. And so I did 2 years of law and security, and I learned about the police force. I have friends in the police force. I really respect that profession. I respect any emergency services. It's a really challenging job, really, really interesting space. I studied a little bit about law. I'm definitely no expert, but, you know, learned a little bit about, like, is it maritime sea law where, you know, mostly it's like statutes to like a banker, and you know, when you open the gate, you're boarding a ship. And so, you know, we're under like just way too many legislations and overtaxation, and nothing is, I don't know, that's a whole laundry list of stuff that, you know, your listeners are going to know a lot more of. But I do respect people who are trying to help other people, and they're going into dangerous situations and they're trying to do good for their community. So I definitely consider that for, you know, very seriously. And as I got older, it just didn't really fit to the lifestyle I wanted, because even a 9-to-5, you know, that wasn't for me. I had a lot of traveling to do and a lot of exploring and Indiana Jones adventures and snowboarding and things like that.
Well, you did it for a while, and thank you for your service. And you talk about so many different important topics, Matt. I want to shift a little bit, and I want to talk about leadership for a moment. You talk about how we can become better leaders, more effective and powerful leaders. What are some thoughts on that?
Yeah, leadership is a huge topic, and just mindset, peak performance, and all that kind of thing. So growing up a martial artist, it was all about mind, body, spirit, and you integrated those. That was what you did. That was a part of the training. And in traditional sports, they don't really focus on that. And so, you know, part of my training was going to China and training with 34th generation Shaolin masters, and one of the masters could break stone with two fingers, bigger pieces over his head than his elbows, doing just absolutely extraordinary things, you know, really – testing the limits of human potential. I'm like, wow, like how is that possible? Mm-hmm. And in interviewing him, I realized, because I was trying to see if there was a trick. I wanted to make sure there was no trick to it. So there's a translator there. They can't even speak English. And I said, trick, what, you know, how do you do that? Most people are going to think it's unbelievable. And I was like, what's the trick? And he's like, no trick. I ask him again and he's like, no trick. I ask him a third time just to make sure. And he kind of gets annoyed and he starts slamming his fingers down on the desk. And he says, I think it was like 8 years of Qigong. So hard conditioning the fingers. That's hard Qigong. You condition the body by punching a tree, kicking a tree, and there's dent holes in the trees outside the academy from people doing that type of training. And also years of Qigong, moving his energy to his fingers. Yeah. And so I realized at that point, I was like, wow, like what an extraordinary, you know, like to do something superhuman, you know, it was ordinary. What was extraordinary was the discipline. Yeah. That was superhuman discipline to such a simple idea to show what is possible. So, you know, when we're talking about leadership, really it comes down to personal integrity. You know, and for me, it's like, who are you really? What is you? Are you being honest with yourself? And then are you expressing yourself in a way that's congruent with those beliefs? So a lot of people are in professions and jobs that aren't congruent with their passion or calling, or people call it their purpose or whatever, because they need to make ends meet. And that's a fair part of the game for sure. We all need to do that. But we kind of forget that other side. So when we're in any kind of environment, like where you're a sports team, you know, when I'm working with teams, it's really about team congruence, but being the best individual that you can possibly be in that team environment. So when you train martial arts, there's a mutual respect with one another, although it comes down to one-on-one competition. And so if you can have kind of that attitude of like, you're being the best that you can be, and you have the right tools, the right mindset, and the right skills, which not a lot of people talk about, to be your best, that example set is the most powerful thing that you can do.
Yeah. And when you were talking about that, Matt, I was having these images. You were talking about mindset and then training the mind. I was just kept flashing with Kill Bill, number the second one, where she was learning how to have, to break the boards, and that that monk was teaching her. I don't know if you've seen the movie. I know you haven't. But she was, at first she couldn't do it, but then she trained her mind, and he was teaching her how to become stronger.
100%, man. Just perseverance. You know, like I like to ask the big questions, and that for me summarizes leadership. Who are you really? Like, you know, it's like you got to ask yourself, who are you? You know, what are you capable of? What do you want to do here? How do you want to live? Like, make your life extraordinary. And that can be in any kind of job or vocation, but it's living up to your own standards, not making excuses, getting very, very clear, and doing the things it takes to become the best version of yourself. And that is the best example you can set for your team, for your organization. There's a lot of other elements too, and like, you know, psychology, and I studied a lot of hypnosis and psychology and persuasion. And really what it comes down to is just being a good human being. That's really what it is. Are you appreciative? Are you compassionate? Do you take them? Are you quick to anger? You know, can you just take a moment and it's really simple stuff, but we're not doing any of this stuff. Yeah. And, you know, with the book Zen Athlete, the reason why I wrote it was because I was teaching this stuff to extreme sports athletes who really put their health on the line when they're doing, you know, double backflips on the snowboard, or some of my clients are freestyle motocross riders, or whatever. You know, they have to, this mindset is a necessity. You can really, really hurt yourself, but the tools and the strategies are very simple. And when they're applied, you perform at such a higher level. Mm-hmm. And so the word flow state for me kind of is a little bit frustrating, because you can do things to increase your performance. And like, if there's a scenario, you know, there's definitely tools to improve that situation, but it's more about flow state being a process. I think that it's earned. Mm-hmm. And when you add simple tools to your daily training, like if you're doing squats and then you understand what your internal dialogue is, you understand your intention, you're operating at such a higher level.
Yeah. And it all resonated with me. But one thing in particular, Matt, is when you said first and foremost, who are you? What do you stand for? And I'm willing to bet there's a lot of people, you talk to a hell of a lot more people than I do, that they don't know that answer, right? I mean, they haven't dug deep to really think about that. What's your thoughts?
I love that you picked up on that, because it's one of the most surprising things to me is that we don't ask that question, and we don't ask it continuously. And that was one of those questions that I was asking myself from a young age, and I still do in my journal.
Sure.
Because it evolves over time. But think about it. Your like life is so fascinating. We're on a floating ball in outer space. Really, we actually don't know much of what's going on here. Like the best physics we have today shows that particles disappear and reappear. So our physical reality isn't even that. So we're in such an extraordinary mystery. We have an opportunity at life and whatever we can imagine. And what we're doing is we're just kind of like getting by and playing it safe. And we're not identifying our values, who we are, what do we want to experience. So, you know, I've had a lot of incredible podcasts just because the guests are just really phenomenal. But one's coming to mind, this man named Frank Ostaseski. He wrote a book called The Five Invitations, How to – what death can teach you about fully living. And he is a co-founder of Zen Hospice. And in his book, he just talks about the regrets of people who die. And so some of the times when I'm working with people one-on-one, and like whether it's entrepreneurship or performance or helping people move towards what they're passionate about, it just starts with the most basic mm-hmm. questions, you know, that, you know, if you had unlimited income, what would you do with your time? You know, what are you most passionate about? What would you do if you couldn't fail? How would you help if you could fix one thing on the planet? And the thing is that you don't have to like quit your job overnight. That's not the idea. The idea is that we're giving 100% of our time to getting by and making ends meet and buying things, yeah. and zero of our time towards our inspiration, our purpose, and really honing in on that, getting yeah. very clear and making steps to bring more of that into our life. And if you continue to do that, you're eventually going to transition to that being your full-time life, being in a vocation, you know, you expressing yourself by your own terms, you know, like, so when you do die, it's like, you know what? I gave it my best shot sure. and I made it on my own terms. And I got through the fear and I persevered and all of that kind of really great stuff that goes along with it, because it's not an easy road by any means, but we are so much more capable than we give ourselves credit for.
And I remember listening to a podcast. I don't know if you listen to Gary Vee. He has a great podcast, Gary Vaynerchuk, but he was talking about, and I can't remember the exact number, Matt, maybe you know, and I'm just going to throw it out there, correct me if I'm wrong. He was given a talk once, and he said, it's 80 billion to one at your chance at becoming a human being. Just the odds are so stacked that you're going to be born. It's ridiculous. A lot of people don't realize this. And circling back around to what you were talking about, so many people settle for mediocrity, and they fail to take a chance and go for their dreams, to live to their full potential. And I'm a work in progress, brother, but so many people out there just settle for less. And then, like you said, they get to their deathbed and what do? They don't talk about getting more money. They don't talk about, you know, spending more time at their job. They talk about regrets, relationships, taking chances, things like that.
Yeah. Yeah, 100%. And, you know, this life is very challenging. You know, it is challenging to be here. There's a lot of stuff that we're dealing with. And at the same time, it's also extraordinary and it's beautiful. And I feel like the society and culture is like, well, it depends on what part of the world you're in too, because, you know, when I was living in Spain, they all worked really hard, but they didn't put the same value on work that we do in North America. You know, that mm-hmm. wasn't their whole life. You know, like life was – the work was a part of their life, but it wasn't the most important part. So I think that it's this balance. And, you know, when I'm coaching and teaching, especially with athletes, like I give the example where, you know, let's say you want to be LeBron James and win the NBA championship. Well, when it comes down to it and you have the game winning shot, let's say it's a free throw, right? And you want to put it in. If your identity is on the line, so like you need to be the best basketball player of all time and this and that, you're going to have more stress going through the body. Mm-hmm. But if you're whole and harmonious as a human being, you're more likely to make the shot when you set the intention to make the shot, because you behind the scenes have a solid friendship, a solid family, connected to community. That's the real stuff, you know? And so it's this balance between growth, and we all naturally grow, and being content with where we are in the process. So it's really simple. Start to think about and get clear on where you'd like to go. Where would you prefer? What would you prefer to experience? What would you prefer to be doing? Get very clear on that. Mm-hmm. Start taking steps to make that a reality. And as you take action steps, new things will come in. It'll get more refined. Things will show up. You'll start to gain momentum and do it from a place of contentment. And over time, if you apply all these things, you're going to all of a sudden be on the other side and be like, whoa, like I created this. How fascinating. This is extraordinary. Yeah. And you just change the thing that you want to create in your life. And we're all incredibly powerful creators. We're a lot more than just our jobs. And we're a lot more than like, you know, when I said I was a little bit odd from my friends, I couldn't understand, just like I couldn't understand war. I couldn't understand how we have people starving to death. Saw right through politics. I was like, this is nonsense. There's got to be something else to it. And there definitely is. I couldn't understand how people were signing up for 40 hours a week and 2 weeks off a year. I was like, guys, that is mental. That's voluntary slavery. Yeah. If you're showing up somewhere where you don't want to be repeatedly, you're a slave. And now I just want to finish that because I know it's an intense thing to say. We are all a part of that. And I have had to do a lot of jobs I didn't want to do and a lot of things I didn't want to do, but I always had my clear vision in mind moving towards. So it wasn't a permanent space. And if you're taking care of your camp, your family, and you're doing all those things, I honor you and I respect that. And I think that's important. And I don't think there's anything wrong with any job if you can find genuine contentment. My suggestion is just that take that contentment and also remember that if you want to shift something, if you prefer something else, if you need a little bit more alignment, that's always available.
Yeah. And you hit on something, Matt, it's worth talking about for a few minutes. At least I think so. You're an enigma, brother. I mean, you had the insight from a very young age. You know as well as I do the educational system, at least in the United States, they don't teach you how to go out and be an entrepreneur. They don't teach you to go for your dreams. They teach you to be a cog in the machine. They teach you how to be an employee. And I wish they would start teaching us more how to, you know, to dig deep and to go for your dreams and to be an entrepreneur, but they don't do that.
Yeah, 100%. I definitely did a lot of research on the school system, psychology, as a human performance, things like that. Like to give you one example, if you don't think this stuff works, don't think about a pink hippopotamus. Or try not to imagine a purple giraffe with wings. So if you imagine those things, this is how it works. And this, if you look at the Century of Self by Edward Bernays, there's literally systematic brainwashing of whole societies. And when I say brainwashing, it's just persuasion, just like that. Like so one example is like murder shows on TV. Basically, they want the population afraid and controlled and docile. So we've got an obesity epidemic. If you look at TV, they call it programming because they're programming different things. Just like, you know, if you imagine, a polka dot pig, right? Once that's in there, you have to make sense of it. So not only are there like, you know, CSI, it's a whole time slot of murder shows. Mm-hmm. And that's what's filling up space. And if you look at the news, you can just look up scripted news and, you know, you're going to just see all the baloney out there. And so what's happening is we're taking this in as truth, and our education system is definitely set up in a way where they are limiting, you know, creative thinking, self-inquiry, because they want to create employees. Yeah. And that's kind of functional in a way, but you need to be able to step behind that and kind of look at it from a different lens. And one of the hard things for me in doing the research when I was in my late teens and early 20s is I realized and knew for sure that the way that society was set up was to dumb me down, to try to kill me, and to allow people to needlessly die of starvation and things because of this power struggle. You know, there's so many crazy things like, you know, I knew about organ harvesting, and I also knew about ritual satanic sacrifice. When I was in my teens, my friends were like, that's a conspiracy theory. You're off your rocker. Well, flash forward to a couple of years ago, I get contacted somebody through the podcast, and I have a marketing background as well. And they hit me up about the International Tribunal of Natural Justice that was working on an official inquiry in London, England, on human trafficking, the sex trade, and ritual satanic sacrifice. This happened, I think it was last year, last March, and you can look them up. It's itnj.org, and these are massive problems that are systematic. Mm-hmm. They're systems that exist on this planet, and to me, that's so disturbing and it's so heartbreaking. And so, you know, I've definitely caught myself in a depression a couple times just seeing all the darkness on the planet. But what I've realized is we just need to work towards the solutions for ourselves, for our families, for our communities. Go volunteer. The best spiritual lesson I've ever heard by far, and I've read just, you know, as many spiritual books as you could shake a stick at and and seminars and conferences and everything in between. I meditated with monks in Nepal because I wanted to be enlightened. I figured that would do it. Didn't work. But it was an interesting experience. But the best spiritual lesson I've ever heard was with from my Native American elder mentor. And he said, do three kind acts a day, go out of your way to do it, and don't tell anyone. And so in the process of being a human, trying to engage in the mystery of life and just enjoy it and be content and be happy and, you know, and be frustrated and be confused like we all are, you know, do three kind acts. And that to me was the most spiritual grounded lesson I've ever heard. And since applying that, I've done more actual good in my day to day than I ever did before, because I was actually doing something.
Sure. And that's a good segue into, I want to talk about the law of attraction, Matt. Goes into mindset. I really do believe the older, I wish I would have known this younger in my younger life, but I really do believe, and I know you do, I want you to explain to the listeners how important this is. What you put out there to the universe, you're going to get back. So in fact, or so like you said, you do three acts of kindness. That's going to double. It's going to come back to you. It is so important that we're putting out good into the universe instead of negativity and toxicity, because we're going to get that in return, right?
Yeah, 100%. And, you know, law of attraction is a fantastic topic. And now that, you know, I'd say the new age is a little bit more popular, there's a lot of stuff, but there's also a lot of nonsense, mm-hmm. because you can think about it in very practical terms. Let's say you and I have never played ping pong before, and we have $1 million prize for whoever wins in a year's time. Well, if I practice 10 hours a day and I read everything on ping pong and I watch ping pong nonstop and I set my goals and all that kind of stuff, and you know, practice maybe an hour a day, you take some days off, you don't do that kind of thing, you know, the probability of me winning a year's time is going to be a lot greater. Mm-hmm. So we can even think of it as common sense, right? Just do anything consistently. That's also the law of consistency. The law of constant action is the same as law of attraction, but then you go a step deeper with your beliefs. So when I'm working with an athlete or I'm working with an entrepreneur or something like that, then they can't see the vision. Well, then they can't go to the next step. But once they can see the vision, we remove the limiting beliefs. So when you're about to go do a backflip, if you don't think that you can do it, you could put yourself at serious risk. If you don't think that you can make that leap in business or whatever the case is, you're probably going to fail. But there are ways to literally program your mind. So now you're using, mindset, visualization, psychology, in the subconscious mind, which is all proven. This is not hocus pocus. This has been used since the dawn of time. You know, they were even using hypnosis, I heard, in these Egyptian sleep chambers. So our mind is 100% programmable. And that is exactly, you know, why I wrote Zen Athlete, because it teaches it to anybody in so layman's terms that it requires the exact same necessity. Like, I'll give a quick story. You know, I had a freestyle motocross rider reach out. I was working with one, his name's Pat Bowden, and he's in the Nitro Circus. And his buddy called me and said, "Hey man, I heard you're good. I fell on a front flip and I would like to land a front flip on my motorcycle in a couple variations that have never been done." And I was like, "Right on, man. Like, let's have a call." So we have a call and his mindset's pretty strong. You know, I fine tuned a couple things with a few suggestions, and they said, "Look, man," I was like, "I recommend reading my book for sure, but it's not going to be necessary, but you should, because there's good techniques in there." Mm-hmm. All you actually have to do is you need to visualize this trick, because the thing is, he believed he could do it. So we didn't have to go into beliefs. And if you don't believe you can do it, there's a lot of stuff you can do there. So I got to bypass a lot of that. That's super important. But beliefs, you can change your beliefs. So I said, all you need to do is visualize this trick an hour a day until you know you can land it. It'll probably take you about a week or so. So 3 weeks later, he's in a competition. He lands the front flip. 3 weeks after that, he lands the world's first front flip heel clicker. 3 weeks after that, he lands the world's first front flip Superman. He didn't practice it once. He did it straight up in visualization, doing a trick that has never been done before. And so there are studies, too, with Dr. Joe Dispenza showing and proving that people are healing themselves of terminal illnesses through strictly meditation and mindset over repeatedly. It's not 100%, but it increases the probability immensely. And there are many cases of people coming out healing themselves through their mind alone. So if you take that discipline and necessity and you program your beliefs, you give yourself a clear vision, you know, probably not a front flip on a motorcycle, but, you know, a business goal or a direction, right? You apply the psychology to it with consistent action. Boom, that's it. It's not complicated, but we're not adding the mindset part because we weren't taught it and it's confusing.
Yeah.
It's not, once you know what to do, it's not.
Yeah. And it's so powerful, man, because I've done visualization before and it is so, where I actually visualize myself getting promoted or getting that thing I want. And I believe you 100%, Matt. It is so important that we practice this every day. And I would go a step further, brother, and let me know if I'm wrong. Write it down. Because for me, I need to write things down. The more I write things down, the more they come to fruition for me and the more apt I am to completing them, writing things down.
100%. That's such a really important point because we need to write down. In podcasting with so many different people, being around so many different experts and leaders in different fields from, you know, sports, business, entrepreneurship, whatever the case is, science, journaling is a common. And from when people say, hey, I used to be one way, which was the life I didn't want, and now I'm this way, journaling is 99% there. Mm-hmm. You have to write it down because when you write out your goals and you try to figure out what it is I want, you think you know what you're doing, but when you try to write it down and put it clearly, you realize that it's not as clear as you thought. Mm-hmm. So that's how you start, but over time it gets refined. So absolutely write down what you need, what you want, constantly be refining that. It's such an important part of the process. And for me, I can attest to it because if you look at my journals from 19 years old, which my mom kept, I did everything in those journals I set out to do.
That's amazing. Now talk a little bit. You mentioned the podcast, Matt. Talk about The Zen Athlete, your book, and it's on Amazon. And where else is it at?
Yeah, it's on Amazon and you can get it at zenathlete.com. There's also supplementary training. So, you know, it's the most comprehensive peak performance psychology program that I'm aware of. It's for sport, but really I could have called it Zen life. It doesn't matter what the goal is. You can use it for entrepreneurship, business, sport, music. It does not matter. Really, the reason why I did Zen Athlete is because my hope is to make the training mainstream, that we can teach this to our kids and our youth organizations, because the three most influential people on the planet are actors, musicians, and athletes. And if LeBron James goes out there and says, hey, you know, understanding your internal dialogue is important, and, you know, visualization and being a good human, and he just shares the principles in the book or principles from other books, because, you know, again, like the information is out there. I just wrote it in a different way and I made it concise in what I felt was the most powerful and effective tools. So all it really teaches you how to get a clear goal, how to turn that goal into a reality, and how to do it from a state of contentment. That's the process part. That's the Zen part. That's the inner peace part. So, you know, really you can apply the information in here for anything, that you want.
Yeah. Amazing. That'll be linked up in the show notes. Matt, what, a couple more questions, brother. What's your morning routine? I'm always interested in asking people like you and successful people as yourself, what's your routine? I mean, do you have a routine in the morning?
Yeah, 100%. You know, it's changed over time, right? I've had different routines at different times. But I'll tell you some of what I do and what I feel is the most effective. So, getting up, journaling for sure, writing down five things that I'm grateful for, five things that I'd like to call in, practical things that I need help with. So it might be like, universe, can you please bring me so-and-so. Then I kind of go into journaling and I say, you know, my life is ideal when, and I start to paint out, even if I've done it day after day after day, as like, my life is ideal when, you know, the podcasts can support my travels and my life. And then I can, you know, interview people who are making the biggest difference on the planet. I am making the largest positive impact on the planet that I can make. And sometimes it'll be something specific where I'm working on a project like, you know, I hope to get Zen Athlete in the Ontario School Board, you know, and have that information available to thousands of teachers. So, you know, it kind of refines over the time. So I have my big idea of making the largest positive impact, being around, you know, game changers in the world and benefiting humanity in the largest way possible, and just giving that over to spirit or force or nature in the world. And then I'll go into the more refined parts of how I'm trying to execute that specifically. So I'll write that out each and every day. Usually I'll take a cold shower. I highly recommend that. There's a lot of research on why cold showers are good. And what you could do to make it easy, you know, people are doing Wim Hof breathing and things like that. You can just go and have a warm shower in the morning, but then put it to like cool, and then just slowly start to go over to cold. And you'll find over time, it's actually not that hard. Mm-hmm. And what it really does is just snaps you out of the sleep state. So I'm a super deep sleeper. So that thing has become very much mandatory for me. And over time, like for about a year, I meditated for an hour each day in the morning. So I've done things like that. But I think for me right now is just journaling. But some other things that Hal Elrod wrote a great book, The Miracle Morning, and he talked about, and usually I'll read my affirmations as well, but that usually comes out in the writing. So it's wake up, it's meditate, exercise, visualize, affirmations, and reading. And so usually I'll do some reading as well, or some exercise, or both. So usually that's about what I'm up to.
That's amazing, Matt. Now, if people want to reach out to you, brother, how can they find you? What's the easiest way?
Yeah, the best way is matt@zenathlete.com. You can reach out there. My website's mattbelair.com, so you can check that out. So direct emails is always best. And for the listeners too, you know, my goal with the Zen Athlete is to get it out there to as many people as possible. And so if you want it for free, you can get the ebook and just go to mattbelair.com/masters-of-flow. And you'll also get what I call, it's a heart journey hypnosis. And so there's so many people that have asked me so many times and were like, I don't know what my life purpose is. I don't know what I'd do. You know, they can't ask you the questions of if they had unlimited money, what would they do? Mm-hmm. And so I came up with a hypnosis off the top of my head for a friend of mine who was super analytical. And it ended up just being so effective. It's the most effective thing that I'm aware of to help you line up with your life purpose, with your soul purpose, with more meaning. And it's great because I've done it with literally every type of person, hippies, you know, mom and pops, millionaires, everything in between. And everybody has a similar core. There's a core set of principles that all humans want. And you can see it from this space, because the thing is, our minds are logical. They're designed. Our consciousness is designed to keep us safe. So, you know, it analyzes threats, right? So from that brainwave state, from that consciousness, you can't think about what your ideal life would be, because the thing is, you can't see how you could make money, and you need to make money to eat. So you survive. It's like, you can't kill me. But from this state, your heart knows it's eternal, and you connect more deeply with it, and you see it in such a clear way. You're like, oh, okay, cool. I see how this is possible. I see how I can maybe let go of these things here and add this, because this is going to be more important. Maybe it's more time with my kids. Maybe it's more vacation. Maybe it's on the weekends we do A instead of B. But, you know, people have these core fundamental things that shows up in a very powerful state, but you have to get out of the just general consciousness. And the hypnosis really is just guided meditation. That's all it is. It's just people don't know how to relax their mind. And so all you're doing is helping them relax for them by just going through, you know, connecting to your body and breath. It's very, very simple stuff. If you meditated, you'd be doing the same thing, but most people don't have a meditation practice. And so that's what it's there to do. And then take you through an experience so that you know for sure what direction that you want to go, uninhibited by the fear consciousness that we all have, that's there to keep us alive and keep us safe.
Yeah, it's such good stuff. And I've gotten that question too, Matt, before in the past. You know, I don't know what my purpose is. And I always tell people, maybe you let me know what you think about this, is don't wait to be dropped off to where your life's purpose is. You have to live your life right now, man. You have to live every moment as it is your last. So you really have to, I mean, we're in the reality of things. I mean, we're only here for just a very little period of time, you know, when you really think about it. So start living your life. Don't wait to find out what your purpose is. Yeah, you can do action steps and you can meditate and do all that stuff to get you to a happier state, but start living your life now. Don't wait. You know what I mean? Does that make sense?
Oh yeah, man. 100%. Like, you know, when I was in my teens, I was reading every book that I could on enlightenment. I wanted to be enlightened. I wanted to know what that state of consciousness was. And so that's why I was meditating with monks and asking them those questions. And over time, asking just brilliant people who I respected, who are really wise, what I've learned is that enlightenment is more about integrity, and finding your life purpose is more about a process. So it unfolds naturally through taking action that you're inspired to take. So it starts by a self-inquiry, asking yourself, what would you like? Alan Watts has a really great segment on it in one of his talks, and he just says, you know, what would you do if money were no object? Do that first, and then figure out the money after.
Exactly.
You know, he's just like, working a job, working for money is absurd. He's like, if you do that, you're upset. And he phrases it and adds language around it that's really compelling, much better than I could do. But the idea is that life purpose. And that's what the heart journey does. And when I work with people as well, it's like, it's more of a direction. You know, I know what direction I'm going, but life will unfold as we go across. It's not like I get this job or I win the NBA championship or, you know, I get so much money in the bank and then my life purpose is done. It's what are you creating? And you're going to create over a lifetime and it's going to change over a lifetime. But that's where you hone in on the direction. It's like a life path. It's like north, east, south, or west. Most people are living their life through default in some way that it's been handed to you that you can make ends meet. And so you just do the default settings. Yeah. Well, when you live on purpose, it's like, I'm going to go northeast, you know, 279 by whatever the case is. And that's my direction. And all these islands and experiences and people and opportunities and things come up that way. Not easier, but it's more fulfilling to live by your own terms for sure.
I love it. Well, Matt Belair, such a honor and privilege to have you on the show, brother. Everything's going to be linked up in the show notes, how to find you. And we wish you much success in the future. Keep rocking the podcast, brother. We love it. Thank you for coming on the show, brother.
Thank you so much for having me, man. You're an incredible host. And thank you for the work you're doing and doing your part to humbly move toward what inspires you. So thanks so much for the work you're doing.
All right, brother. You take care of yourself.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of the CJ Evolution Podcast. For more strategies for self-improvement and resources based on today's episode, be sure to head to cjevolution.com. You can also connect to Patrick directly on social media at @Pat_Fitzgibbons with any questions, comments, or concerns. We look forward to helping you find more personal success on the next episode of the CJ Evolution Podcast.